There's no music. We'll have beer bottles instead.
I can say I can't hear any music now. It says it's playing,
Yeah.
but it bloody isn't. What was it a minute ago? What was
Yeah,
you saying?
Let's have a beery glug instead.
Right. Well, we've done 50 episodes, so we don't need the music. There should be some ukulele music playing. But anyway, here we are. We have made it to the 50th episode of Malt Travail Podcast. Blimey. 50 episodes.
That's mad, isn't it? 50.
We've had a short break. I think the last time we did a podcast was just at the beginning of August. So this is the, not quite the beginning of September. We're kind of, I don't know, third of the way through. So we've been off on our, some of us have been off on our summer jaunts and adventures. So we'll catch up with some of that today. But we just thought we'd just have a little kind of reminisce back to the last 50 episodes and think back to the very dark days of January 2021. And an idea for a podcast came along because we were that fecked off of sitting in our houses drinking supermarket beer.
I was working.
And occasionally having a Zoom quiz on a Friday night where everybody just got pissed. And we missed our pubs, weren't we? And then I've managed to trawl back. I've got a few photos. I've got the first release photos. Actually, you guys did better, didn't you? Because we were in Tier 3 down in Staffordshire, so we never were released. But you guys had a little bit of a window, didn't you? Kind of Christmassy time, because you were in Tier 1 for a while, then Tier 2. So that's the plan. So we'll just kick off with our normal beery news, and then we'll just do a little bit of beery highlights. So, gentlemen, are we on good form?
Yes, that's bad.
For, a while. We were maybe hoping trying to get to the York Beer Festival this weekend, but didn't quite. I'm guessing, I know Nick didn't go. Bruce, did you get your nose in the door?
No, I've been busy with him going away and one thing and another. We've been absolutely busy. I've been in the pub quite a bit, but I don't think it's sold out, but by all accounts, it's jolly good fun, yes.
Yeah, it looked very nice. It didn't look very busy. I'm just having a chat with Nick before we came on air that I've heard a few reports back that quite a few festivals not very busy. I know at peak end, I was in Bakewell yesterday, and I know they had their peak end a couple of weeks ago, and there were actually a few moans because they didn't sell as much beer, so they weren't rotating the beers around. They'd kind of advertised it'd be, I don't know, 20 or so beers, and then there was only about five on, and basically they just weren't selling it. So
and
where was normally...
is that all these so many food festivals now, and all the food festivals,
yeah,
the corporate beer festival,
yeah,
all the novelty beer festivals kind of been eroded, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
I also maybe think that obviously most people have had a holiday this year, and so they may be feeling the pinch a bit, you know.
I was out
in York on Saturday night. And I couldn't believe how quiet it was. It was insane. There was three.
Yeah.
We didn't go in. There was three people in Bully Dog, but again, nowhere was absolutely heaving. It was.
It's hit and miss, isn't it? Yeah, because I think some like I was out in town on Saturday, and some places were full. And then it's the other place absolutely deserted. I mean, literally, a couple of us, there was only me and one other person in, like on a Saturday, like 6 o'clock. So it's very strange. So, beer news. So, we talked last time a little bit about this change in ABV. And as we mentioned then, quite a few of the pubs and chains and breweries have been looking at that. So, I've not come across this yet, but I noticed at St. Austell, I've brought out a new Cornish Best. 3.54%. So that's kind of a brand new beer.
Near
that's
beer.
Kind of been
it's
set
up. The taxation into it,
yeah. And then again, in the morning advertiser, they were just going through kind of what is it, this £5 pint, which is now kind of almost quite the norm. I think it wasn't quite £5. The average is about £4.70, I think, when they did a survey a couple of weeks ago. And they run down that of that £5, 10% is profit. 32% is overheads, 33% is tax, and 25% is manufacture. So still the biggest pint of your pint is still the tax, isn't it, on your beer?
It is.
So, interesting.
That's if you're freehold. So, I mean, if you are a manager or if you are in a tight pub, I would think those percentages would be quite significantly different because obviously the owners of the pub want their bite out of that as well, don't they?
Yeah. And then I think people have been listening to our podcast because, again, we've tracked a little bit. So the Carling Marston Brewing Corporation, whatever they call these days, announced last week that they are going to close Wychwood Brewery. So I think we talked about that previously. We talked about Jennings Brewery some time ago and obviously Tetley's. And again, I think one of the camera ladies who tweet a lot, she put on this tour of destruction. Again, for those that are on YouTube, Tetley Brewery was closed by Carlsberg in 2011. The Londonsfield Brewery was sold in 2022. Jennings was closed in 22. The Marston's Visitor Centre, the brewing centre place, was shut in 22. That's Eagle Brewery was sold in 22 to Dam. Ringwood Brewery, we talked about it. I'm drinking some Ringwood Brewery beer now. Razorback was closed. And then Witchwood, unfortunately, again, has been closed. So, and so, things like Hobgobbly will be then brewed in Burton, like most other beers these days. So, yeah, I'm afraid it's another example, isn't it, of talk a good game, but then slowly just dismantle kind of the brewing. So, quite sad. As always, Sam Smith has been in the news again, and we'll come back to Sam Smith. So, Sam Smith, I've been doing the opposite. Rather than making beer weaker, they've been making beer slightly stronger. So they've changed the ABV of their Alpine Lager. They've actually pushed it up to 3.4%. So I think, was it 3.2 before, something like that?
No, 2.8.
2.8. So they've made it a little bit stronger. Quite a lot. In fact, Bruce, you'd mentioned this a couple of weeks ago that you'd been somewhere where it was £9 you'd pay for a pint or something.
It was mad. And
Boke and Bailey, who do a brewing podcast, they picked it up, and it kind of a lot of people jumped on as well. And they said that they were, you know, gradually, if you've been going to Sam Smith's, especially down south, the price has been going £6, £7, £8 a bottle. And then they moved the bottles and they shrank them down to £3.30. And they said on a recent trip, we paid £7 for a pint of pure brewed lager and £6 for a pint of all brewery bitter.
Outrageous, isn't it?
So, from Sam Smith's being some of the cheapest pubs in the country, it's slightly changed, hasn't it?
The London price is insane. I mean, around here, it's still pretty good. And they are now doing a 4X again, that's 3.4%. And they've increased the dark mile. But consequently, because people have lower disposable income from Sam Smith's pub, everyone's drinking the 4X, which I have to say, I did try it, and even I could drink it. So the old brewery sales are collapsing, and now he's taking the pumps out. So he's even destroying his own flagship beer. Very, very strange.
Yeah, strange.
Do you think the London pricing might be just to attract a certain sort of clientele rather than everybody now?
No. I mean, it could be. Could I mean, obviously, again, as we keep talking about, obviously the cost of living crisis and the crisis for small companies and, you know, individual pubs is just massive, isn't it? I mean, a lot of those pubs, Sam Smith's, certainly in London, are massive pubs, aren't they? They'll take a lot of energy to light and to heat and everything. And to upkeep, I mean, you know, they do some nice refurbs, but it's, and obviously there are still a number that are closed. I think, again, there's another, somebody else is running a new story about that, about all the pubs that are still closed. I mean, again, as you said, Bruce, some iconic pubs around the place that are still completely shut up and look like, I mean, again, it's three years down, isn't it now? Quite a lot have been shut and a bit of a shame. So I did think then, because we do tend to mention in our 50 episodes, I think having flipped back a few of them, we do obviously mention two pub chains in particular quite frequently. So I just thought we'd just take a little bit of stock and just reflect on. So Sam Smith's, we do talk about quite a lot. They are Yorkshire Older Brewery. They were founded in 1758. They were the kind of the family that set up, not just Sam, but then, as always, a dispute, like often happens in Yorkshire Brewery, set up John Smith's as well. They do have over 200 pubs and 12 hotels, which again, I don't think we've ever been. Have you been to any of their hotels?
Well,
I don't know, we've talked
about
it.
Well, the Seahorse is in York. That's our hotel in town. And the rooms are quite old-fashioned. They've got lovely ways. They do a cracking breakfast. But they're funny little places, yeah. But
there's one in Harewood.
I think it's Richmond or Kingston-on-Thames. They say that's absolutely cracking.
I mean, look, you said there's quite a few in Yorkshire, but there are some kind of dotted about, which are kind of interesting ones.
As
I mentioned before, they're quite unique, all the Sam Smith's pubs, because they are very much tied houses. You can't even go and buy a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi, because they actually have their own Scintilla brand, and therefore all the soft drinks. But again, I think they're all vegan now, it says there. Their own soft drinks, which they make as well. And although they don't make their own spirits, they only buy it from one place, which is Walks and Scots Wine and Spirits. So again, they are quite unique. And I think they're all labelled Sam Smith's, aren't they? I don't think they've got any other labels on them.
Walk and Scott,
Scott and Walk and Scott, which I think have been closely linked. And they still do have the biggest team of shire horses in the world. I can't really check this, but apparently they did used to have quite recently the world's biggest horse, Extra Stout, who was stabled in Tadcaster.
It could be good for the Angel of Might horse. He can go out the back, but it's closed, President.
Yeah, but it's shut. Yes, I'm going to say. Yeah, we had a quick
doesn't Budweiser? Don't they have horses?
Yeah, they do have them. Yeah, and
I would have thought they would have more than Sam Smith, because, like, say, well, Bruce, the only ones that Sam Smith have are stable
around Taddy.
In Tadcaster.
Yeah, no, it did say, I think Wikipedia, whatever, did say that Sam Smith still have more than even Budweiser, which I guess is again, slight quirkiness. And then actually, when I was walking, so I went to Bakeville and I had a little walk and into Bakeville down the lovely manifold track, and I was listening to a podcast about Wetherspoons. Just the other chain that we talk about a lot. But again, they've been in the news quite recently as well. There's some suggestion, don't know if you picked this up, because obviously they've got 30 pubs for sale now. And there's been quite a bit of kickback, and quite a lot of kind of resident groups are now saying, we want the don't get rid of our Wetherspoons. So I think it's Haringey, where there's quite a lot of, which is backlash, which you thought would be the opposite. But what they're saying is it should be a community asset. That, of course, what it is now, Wetherspoons is becoming the place where, again, for older people, they go there all day. They sit in the nice warm. They have their bottomless cup of coffee and cup of tea all day. It's warm. They meet other people. And they're actually saying, so there are some suggestions there.
Not if it's St. Albans, Mike. Don't you remember? They were on £6 or £7 a Stella. All boys.
The suggestion is
the shopping bags.
We should nationalise. Wetherspoons should be nationalised so that they can't close down their venues. But anyway, there's a podcast called The Foil English, which is quite an interesting podcast, and they have a whole program on Wetherspoons. So I just they came up with some nice, interesting facts. I thought Mash was sharing these. So Wetherspoons sell 3 million pints a week, and that really is kind of where they get their power from, because I think it's the Walmart model, isn't it? I think Tim Martin, who apparently wanted to be a squash player, then he wanted to be a squash kind of whatever, run squash courts all around the world and realised there was no money in it, so got into brewing. But he'd read the Walmart kind of way of doing business. It's just about volume, just about you, everything tight and volume. So the myths that Wetherspoons sell, you know, end-of-the-line beers and beer that's out of date, they don't. They just buy in volume. And a bit like Tesco, et cetera, they drive a really hard bargain.
Well, they signed a contract for 3-4 years.
Yeah. As a brewer, you're going to get national exposure. And that's what you're getting back, isn't it? You're getting back, you know, your beer in his pubs, but he wants it at a bloody cheap rate so that he can put it sometimes even cheaper. 500,000 people visit a Spoons every day in the UK. That's just bonkers. That is mad.
And that's one in every 140 people.
That's
crazy, isn't it?
But when you think how many pubs he's got, then...
Yeah. They serve 500,000 breakfasts every week. So I think they are, and actually, apparently, they came third in the best breakfast of the year in one of the Sunday paper things.
How many entries was there? Three. The breakfasts are disgusting.
They're the fourth largest coffee sales in the UK. I was interested that Greg's apparently number two these days, which is interesting. And this was one that, again, was bonkers. They sell 45 million steaks a year, which is, you just can't put that into.
That would suggest 45 million people have had a steak from a decent butcher, wouldn't it? Because they're gross.
And again, the point they're making the podcast is that again, apparently, this was the story behind it. He had to go for free houses because when he tried to try and buy pubs, none of the big chains would sell him because they saw him as a competitor, which is why he started looking at. So the first ever Wetherspoons in the UK was a betting shop. In North London, which he converted. And the second one was a car showroom. And that then created that model because, again, the big pub companies just wouldn't sell to him. Even though they were, you know, trying to flog their pubs, they wouldn't sell them to him because they thought there'd be a direct competition and they knew he was going to be a freehold. So now he's got 818 pubs. And as we've said, some stunning buildings that have been, you know, preserved and kept. And you know, quite a few post offices in my neck of the woods. We've talked about the Harrogate Winter Garden, which is fantastic, isn't it? Which again would have been, you know, something that size would have fallen through really. But as we said, there are 33 currently for sale. But apparently that's again part of the kind of company. That's what they do every 3 or 4 years. They just sell. They buy. They open new ones and then they sell the ones that aren't making any money.
They're not all for sale as such. It's where leases are run out.
Yeah.
It's like you said. It's the press that are basically blowing the story. I mean, he's even said, you know, they've got the one listed at Robin Hood or Wetherspoons has closed. Well, that's because the bloody airport's closed.
He hadn't
had any offers over it, you know, and there was three or four where the lease came up in London. And there's another pub chain that really pushed themselves as the next Wetherspoons, and they jumped in and bought those. And then most of the other ones are where in sort of towns up in Durham, for example, he's already got another Wetherspoons in Durham, and Durham isn't that massive a place. So I think he looked at them both and thought, right, we can drop that one and get the same sort of customer coming through.
Yeah,
I
know the nicest one of the two in Durham, because the other one's a big cavernous, characterless place.
Yeah.
He had two in Mansfield, for example, didn't he? I mean, not that was, you know, bad. And I think Chesterfield, he's got two. I think he's closing one of those, isn't he? I went to the Tilly Stone yesterday afternoon in Gateshead, and that was it. The staff were all friendly and lovely,
they were saying on this podcast that again that open planness is again part of the business model, because it requires less staffing. So you don't want booths, you don't want little crooks and crannies, because you can't manage that. So you clear everything away, so you can see, you know, the big long bar, and you can. So anyway, I thought that was quite.
When you see those figures, though, you see how his profits stack up, and they are mind-boggling.
Oh, yeah. Right, Beery highlights then. So, it's been a few weeks since we were last on the podcast together. Some of them, certainly Nick and I, managed to get together for a smallish little beer festival that we went to. But Bruce, you've been to the Bello Peak, and you've been over the channel.
Yes.
And savouring delights. Well, we won't mention Copenhagen and other places on your way to get to France, which is a very interesting way around. And you sent back a few little missives as you were there.
We were trying
to find cheapest beers in France, which is not always easy, is it?
Yeah, no. Well, there's the thing. Because our prices sneaked up, we kind of went to Paris fearing the worst. And I say, you could get a €5 till 9 o'clock. Anyway, you could get a €5 pint. In fact, in Nice, you could sit there in the sort of entry of the old Soleil Market in a really atmospheric area with a beach across the road, palm tree swaying as dusk came. And you could actually get a pint of Pelfort for €3.90. So, I mean, this is the thing, really. I think we're almost getting a bit, you know, I've seen even numb the prices because things get so expensive. Pegging out the Fox now, I mean, pint of Silver King, I think it's up to £4.65 now. Anybody drinking lager, they're Dutch, but neither of them were paying €5 or more. So we were pleasantly surprised. But ourselves, you do miss the variety, though. And I mean, I was reading about the decline in wine sales in France, but their wine sales are 12% down. It's supposed to be a craft beer explosion, but it's hard to find any craft beer, to be honest.
It was mainly Kronenbourg.
Yeah,
Left.
Yeah, I want to say Pelfort, Kronenbourg. Although rather bizarrely, in the bar in the Soleil in Nice, you could get anything off the taps for €3.90. So I was drinking Pelfort at €3.90 pint. Then Ben ordered a pint of Guinness and he brought it in a Heineken pint glass. So yeah, pleasant surprise. Like a rice, pricing was fun.
Yeah. Very good. And you reckon that Versailles will make a fantastic Wetherspoons?
It would be fantastic, yeah. I mean, great, wouldn't it?
Big cabinet place. Very good. Well, I had a kind of little mini trip, actually. And when we did an episode of Manchester earlier in the summer, and we managed to, well, we went to Marble, and Marble Arch was apparently on Strictly Come Dancing on Saturday night, by all accounts.
Was it?
The pub where we, yeah, apparently one of them was drinking in there for some reason.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, if you flick back to this Saturday. Ooh. So we were on trek on the way to Malton to go to the Old Malton Beer Festival, and it was also the bank holiday weekend for the food festival. So me and the son, so we thought we'd do it. We'd go by the train, but we were jumping stations in Manchester, so we thought we'd go to Piccadilly and we'd jump off and we'd walk under the arches and have a little trip to the Cloudwater Brewery and the Track Brewery, which are literally across the road from one another. Probably about 10 minutes walk from Piccadilly, kind of walk under, and you come out the back door under the arches and up the hill there. So really, really handy. Interestingly, they're very, very similar. They are both, as you can see, if you're on YouTube, kind of industrial units. With quite a lot of barrel storage as you go in, where they're laying down kind of bourbon casks for beers. Quite modern inside. So we went to Track first, and we were just literally were the first two in on opening day. Again, for those on YouTube, a massive beer list. probably about, I think there were 30 beers that they were available. Not as much cask, about 4 cask, and the rest were on keg as well. But quite a nice little brewery, very all open plan. So seating area, as you can see, again, on the pictures there, and then to the left of where the bar guy is, that's where the brewery is, and it's all open plan. There's no glass or anything in track. It's just all there. You just, and the brewers are walking around and doing stuff. So quite pleasant. And then you literally come out of that brewery and look across the way, and across the way is Unit 9 Tap Room, and that's the Cloudwater Brewery and Tap Room as well, which, again, is a similar kind of unit. A little bit different this when you go upstairs. And again, if you look, again, if you're on YouTube, on the right of there was, probably the most laid-back taproom I've ever been in, with kind of lounging areas and kind of cushions and things you could sit down. Oh. As you can see, it wasn't particularly busy on a, this was Thursday or Friday, bank holiday weekend, so it wasn't busy. What was quite nice, though, was that they had cherry popsicle soda on draft, which was quite nice. So son wasn't quite 18 yet, so he quite enjoyed having a pint of that, which I think was quite good for tap. And it was bloody nice, actually.
Are those holes in the table?
I think they'd put it was. It's a bit arty. Yeah, they might be holes. They might be mirrors. And they got some very impressive barrels. Again, not quite as many beers on. And I would say the beer wasn't quite as good as the beer across in track, but was very nice. And so again, if you have got an hour to spare. Definitely worth 10 minutes up. You get 20 minutes in each one and get back to Piccadilly and jump on the train. So Track Brewery Tap and Cloudwater Brewery Tap. And then we got there. We got to our little, one of Nick's locals to the, we went on the Friday night, didn't we, Nick?
Yeah,
the
Friday.
Molten Royal Oak Beer Festival.
Which was better because it was steady on. We managed to get a seat and it was just comfortably busy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I understand Saturday was mad, but that's because the bigger bands were on a Saturday night and they take quite a following with them anyway.
So quite nice. 12 beers on. Again, there was a bit of a ticket system, but in the end, they said, oh, just buy what you want. So I think we managed to work our way through all 12 beers. We didn't quite have 12 pints of everything. I think between us, we kind of had one and we shared and we got a couple of halves, didn't we? Again, quite a nice range. I think Steve's always quite good, isn't he? The landlord in pails, and there was a passion fruit one. There was a stout. I think they were all local, weren't they, Nick? I think pretty much, I'm looking there, Woltop, Pennine, North Riding, Three Brothers from Middlesbrough, Great Newsome, Rudgate, Yorkshire Heart, Kirkstall.
So, yeah.
I like the way he displayed his beers. That's very good, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it was nice, actually. And again, you got your festival glass, but that was going for Air Ambulance, isn't it?
That's a printed sheet, bro. So
he
sticks them up and he scans them around so you can see what you're going to get with a few tasting notes, yeah.
And the weather was still quite good, so we were sat outside for the time we were there. Got a bit cooler later on, it got a little bit dark, but again, a nice music on. So yeah, very, very, very nice. So Nicholas, you've been not too far, because you've been working again. So a little summary of your kind of last couple of weeks on the pictures for us.
Yeah, well, first week I was on a 7-dayer. We had a couple of big busy days. Bank holiday weekend, obviously, when you were up, I was working then, and then 7 days, so into our big event, our big remembrance event. So I already managed to get out. I got out for one middle of week when we'd been out for something to eat, calling it Almont Royal Oak, but quite a nice trio on in there. Once again, Steve always tries to go for a light, a medium and a dark one. So, and he always offers on the third. So what I do midweek is I have a third of each and then see which one I like the best and then have a pint of that. So he had Yorkshire Heart to the side on. He had Great Newsome Red Emerald, which is quite a newish one for them, I think. And then a Kirkstall Black Band. And out of the three, the t'other side was the standout one. It was really nice. It was easily drinkable, quite fruity to it as well. So that was a really good one. And then Saturday. So went for a little run out to Knaresborough. And had a walk around the town, missed the Wetherspoons out, but persuaded my other half to have a walk by the station. Said to her, oh, there's a little antique shop on the station there that I always have a rummage in. Obviously, you two guess where I was heading to. So obviously, I don't think Jackie knew that there was actually a little bar on the station there. So had a look at the rummage around the little shop and looked in the bar and there was nobody in there at all. There was a couple just finishing off two balloons of gin. So they were heading out, a youngish lad behind the bar. So went in there, saw they had the Thornbridge Mid North on. That was very quaffable. That's their blonde bitter. And Jackie had a J2O, and while she was halfway down that, I managed to suck me Mid North off in a couple of drinks. So I said, oh, I'm just going to pop in and try their own, which is, it's actually owned by the Gorilla Brewing company that are based over in Mexborough. So the little pub or the bar on the station is called the Track and Sleeper. And lo and behold, I was talking about the fact that you were supposed to be going to see Thornbridge on Sunday, Mike, and the lad behind the bar said, oh, did you say you're going to Thornbridge? I said, no, I should have been. I said, but I've come here instead. And it transpired that he was the owner's son. So the guy who owns Gorilla Brewing, son called Cameron. So youngish lad, but obviously very keen on his beer. Felt a bit sorry because it was really, really quiet. You know, they were ticking over, I suppose, with a couple that had been in before us, then me and Jackie. But it was quiet for a Saturday afternoon, really. But he had, what, four ale ales on? And it's smart in there, inside and outside. I always like to sit outside. You know, you're sitting right on the platform, so you can see the Northern Rail trains coming out the tunnel and going across the viaduct there, which is quite stunning if you've ever been on that line. And I said to Jackie, once again, I said, you know, to jump on the train at York, no matter where you're coming from, and do that tour up Knaresborough and Harrogate, you can have a cracking crawl. So I think we should be doing that next time, lads. Yeah. I mean, I know.
I mean, Knaresborough's full of boozers.
I mean, I ticked off six places in Knaresborough now, Bruce, where you can get a decent beer, because obviously you've got the Track and Sleeper, and then just behind the station, you've got the Mitre, where we went last time, and no one else did it.
Yeah.
And then you walk into town there, you know,
unfortunately,
commercial's still closed. Okay, you've got Wetherspoons, but Wetherspoons always have a good range of Yorkshire beers on in there. You'll probably find more Yorkshire beers in that Spoons than a lot of other Spoons in the area.
You've got Blind Jacks, haven't you?
Yeah, you've got Blind Jacks, you've got Castle. So, yeah, and then, you know, if you jump on an Ed's Harrogate as well, because there's a couple of more places in Harrogate. So anyway, yeah, had a quick chat with Cameron, and I had to be on my way, and then found a new place to eat. It used to be a Vintage Inn on the Skipton Road, just this side of Harrogate. It's been taken back into, I thought it was private independent ownership. In fact, it's owned by a company called Brunning and Price Pub Group.
Yeah, they're local to us. They have the hand and trumpet. Yeah.
They've got about 80 pubs down the spine of England, really, Pennines and that way. So actually a lot nicer than the Vintage Inn used to be. And their house beer was brewed by Brightside Brewery in Manchester.
Mm.
And that was their house beer. I was talking to the lad in there and said, you know, which one is it? Do you just rebrand it? He said, no. He said, we put the tender out to a load of different breweries and said, look, we want you to brew beer, but this one's brewed just for us. So it was a traditional bitter. And then they also had the Black Sheep Respire on in there. And he ended up with a pint of Ilkley bitter, but it wasn't quite right. When the lad came around, I said, do you want to try it? I said, give it a go, see what you think. And he came back, he said, oh yeah. He says, it's gone. He says, what do you want instead? Like, so fair play to him. He didn't quibble. He changed it for me. So yeah, from not having much for a week, I had quite a nice little session on Saturday.
Very good. So I think that's at least me. So yeah, I had a, was it Friday, Thursday? It was my, again, another day, another trip around the sun for me, near to 60. So as a little treat, managed to persuade most of the family to have a little trek out to Bakewell.
To visit, I think, my favourite town.
So yeah, so I'd skied that on the Manifold Valley Trail, there is a Hassop station, which is quite a nice little setup, really. It's quite a big, one of the old stations there, and they do a fantastic breakfast. So we called in there, had breakfast, and then the idea was, I walked from there into Bakewell, which is about a couple of miles. They went by car. And then the plan was that me and the son, we'd walk up to the brewery and meet Mrs. when she'd done some shopping. There's a nice little micro bar called the Joiner's Arms, which is on the corner. Again, if you've ever been to Bakewell, the big roundabout in the middle of town where the Rutland Hotel is, and across the road, there's a great little micro bar, very, very small, but they had six hand pumps on yesterday. And two ciders, so called in there. Was very, very nice. And then up to the brewery tap, which was fairly steady actually, for a Sunday lunchtime. Not heaving, but and probably I don't know, but outside, inside, half tables were full. Couldn't get any artisan. Bruce had said he'd try to get some. This is the Timothy Taylor's and Thornbridge, which apparently is very, very nice. It's an elderflowery gooseberry pale ale, but they were a bit. Didn't really help. They weren't particularly helpful at the brewery. I did ask whether they'd got. They have a little shop in there as well. But I did check as I came out that it is the online shop has got them. And we've got to buy a case of, I think, 12. So anyway, I had a Made North as well, which is very, very nice, which is their kind of new northern bitter, kind of a blonde bitter, which is very nice. And I've got to say, a very stunning pint of Jaipur, which was,
Did you find the Made North quite flat, Mike? Because that's what I I did a pint in a couple of mouthfuls because it was that's easy drinking.
I mean,
you can see it's kind of a little bit like a very, I call it Thornbridge colour, isn't it? They're all, a lot of their beers are that kind of colour.
Yeah, but I said they call this a blonde bitter, don't they?
Yeah, so anyway, so that was that one. So that was a good little trip. So episode 50. So just to reflect back, we did our first podcast back on the 22nd of January, 2021. So this is when we were in the, this was the Christmas that wasn't it, 2021. This was Boris telling us all that we were going to have a great Christmas and then literally pulled the plug on Christmas Eve. So I think by that point, we were literally pulling our hair out. So I said, we decided, I'd been kind of listening to a few podcasts, kind of having been stuck at home and was going out for a walk. So we began putting this podcast together. So the first episode we called The Beer Trip Philosophers, which was really just three of us sat there, wasn't it, just rattling on about if we had the choice, where we could go, really. And I'm not quite sure whether you two had actually ever listened to a podcast. I don't think Nick has listened to a podcast.
Still haven't.
But it was fairly... I wouldn't say it was new, because it wasn't new.
Oh, no, hang on. I listened to Bob Mortimer's... what's he... The, something Atletico Mint.
So it was a bit rough and ready. I can't remember how we did it. I think we did it on Zoom, because we've been doing Zoom quizzes, haven't we? So I think we'd been doing like a Zoom quiz for the families on a Friday night. So that was it. So I don't know how long that first one went on for. But anyway, we did it and we quite enjoyed it. And then, I mean, for a while then, we were actually chucking out almost one a week in those early days. And then it's kind of gradually kind of slowed down a little bit. And again, I just as perspective, I also signed on to Untappd as well, which again, obviously is a beer kind of checking and kind of rating thing. And since that, January, I joined on the 16th of January, so I joined that same week we did that first podcast. So since that first podcast, I've sampled 915 different beers.
That's mad, isn't it? 915.
And I've checked into 1,095 different venues.
Wow. I find it really difficult to navigate that app. Tried it, but it's just not. I don't know whether you've got to use it regularly. But every time I think, yeah, I'll go on, I'll record it. It's like. Yeah. You get so bloody frustrated with it. By the time I've found out what I'm doing, I've drunk the pint, I've moved on to the next pub.
Is it just getting used in this country? I can use it abroad as well.
No, I use it abroad as well. I used it in Greece. I use it everywhere. It's I think it's American initially. I think my son did work out that that's equates to just under £5,000 if you look at like £4.50 for an average pint of beer. So we won't go there. So we have covered quite a few different places though. I've got to say we've been mainly kind of north, as you'd kind of suspect. The place that we've kind of talked about have been fairly north. So I'm trying to change it so I can see all the lists. I've been fairly northern with a little bit of... I'm going too far now. So we've looked at pubs in Stockport. We talked about pubs in Bridlington, Newcastle-upon-Tyne, Stockton-on-Tees, Tadcaster, Thirsk, Newcastle-on-Lyme, Harrogate, Robinhood's Bay, Manchester, Shipley, Sheffield, Brewster, the Special from Penzance, Saltaire, Driffield, Massam, Ripon, the Isle of Wight. Bruce gave us a nice rundown about the Isle of Wight. Otley, Windermere, Stone, Beverley, Edinburgh, London, Salcombe, Keighley, Bowness, Gateshead, Keswick, Haworth, Leeds, Wakefield, Jersey, Scarborough, Dewsbury, Rotherham, Durham, Knaresborough, Ilkley, Skipton. And I think I've about covered them all. So, yeah, we've covered quite a few there, haven't we, in our various discussions? I'd forgotten Maxwell and Portsmouth, but I went back to the list. And I did a little one on Maxwell again, and Bruce gave us a little bit of lowdown on Portsmouth as well. So we've covered quite a bit of geography in those areas there.
Moulton, of course.
Moulton, well, yes.
Moulton. Yeah.
We've also mentioned and been to, on our little trips, quite a variety of breweries as well. So I've mentioned Track today, Jewels. Me and Nick, we did a thing on Jewels when we did a little thing in Stone. Obviously, we talked about Thornbridge and Limestone, the Stone Brewery. We went to Roosters together on one of our early kind of trips and out and about. We've talked about Black Sheep, obviously Brass Castle, which is our Malton brewery. Brew York, I think I've been to you both there separately. Brew York, Hawkshead, again, another area that place that we like. Whitby, again, very, very important brewery. Marble, Winkle, Cold Bath Brewing in Harrogate. Nick mentioned Harrogate before. Obviously, Walkwell can be Titanic. The Windermere Brewing Company, who are based at the Watermill at Ings, and Cloudwater, as mentioned. So quite a few of those as well. We have tried, maybe not quite successfully, and I still think our next step is some live recording. Yes, we had some strange, strange whatevers. So we also let Unox, that was on the station in another state near Harrogate. Our first live podcast was actually we did start, I think, in the Shambles Inn in York, and then we moved to College Green, didn't we? And that was one of the very early on that when.
That's why I had two pints of Rudgate Ruby Mild, not to eat, straight from work.
Yes, you got very blah, 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 blah.
By end at night, I was a bit,
Without any technical requirements, you were gibbling. We used to be in freshman rooms. We met there on a very cold Saturday when we were doing the Real Ale Trail.
Wet.
We had a trip to Roosters. We were the only people in Roosters tap room. Remember that? We had a massive bit of tap room to ourselves. Shambles, as I mentioned. Bruce and I don't think Nick was with us that day. We had a little bit of a session in the Fossgate Social, in that window. And then we did try one in Britain's Protection, but I still can't find the bloody recording. We did our Manchester trip, so I thought that was worth reminiscing. So yeah, these are the pictures. So back in, this would have been, I guess, April 21. So certainly for me, because as I said, we were in Tier 3 down here. My first real beer was on the balcony in Whitby.
At Whitby, yeah.
On the what's that one called? The what's that one called? Not the Harbour Master.
No, it's not the Fisherman's Wharf.
Oh, yeah,
the Wharf. It's just called the Wharf, isn't it?
The Wharf.
And then obviously the brewery, again, the Whitby Brewery up on the top there, because they had that lovely big courtyard. Again, they were able to open that early. So that was my first ever. I think that was my first beer on that. You look at the state of our hair as well. You can tell we've been locked down. I think that was my first beer for something like 6 months, because we'd been locked down all the way through the winter, all the way through autumn. You guys were okay. You kind of stayed out of it a little bit. And I think, Bruce, again, you couldn't meet us that weekend, but that was you. I think that was the same weekend. And that looks like, is that the Shambles?
That's the Shambles Tavern. Yeah, that's the Shambles Tavern.
Back of Shambles Tavern, because, again, they had that outdoor area as well. So it's hard to remember, isn't it, that? And I did, as we look at some of these other photos here, you know, we've mentioned the Mitre. There's Nick and Bruce outside the Mitre with bloody face masks on, because, again, there was that stupid rules where
that was bonkers, wasn't it?
If you were moving around or if you were sat down waiting to be served, you had to keep your mask on. Then as soon as you got your beer, you could take your mask off, and all that palaver about sausage rolls and having a substantial meal. It was
madness, wasn't it?
It was crackers, yes. So we looked quite, I think that was Nicholas, as Nicholas mentioned, I think that was our trip round York when we met in the we're in, again, a great little thing, wasn't it, in College Green, because all of
it's funny you mention all that madness, because if you saw the news tonight, it transpired that after Boris Johnson came back to Downing Street after spelling hospital, his behaviour was so erratic and he was out of control, they were going to ask the Queen to speech him to be in.
That's all that,
it's absolutely crap.
But that was great, because in College Green, they put out a load of seats, didn't they? Give York City Council a due. All the pubs could do takeaway beers. And within that space, there's about, three, four different pubs in that kind of area, isn't there?
Yeah. So they've not done it this year, which is a real shame.
Yeah. So that was us. And I think, as Nick says, that's after about four pints straight from work, and he's had nothing to eat all day, and he's already looking a little bit green by that point. It was very good. So again, just to run through then, so again, it's amazing. So as I say, the first kind of three podcasts, we weren't really kind of sure what we were going to do. So we did Beer Trick Philosophers. We then did Orwellian Thoughts, so we took the underwater concept, which has now become a podcast for some twats off Radio 5, and talked about what our perfect pub would be. Yeah. We then talked about the Good Beer Guide, and we thought how that often helped us. And then we sat to do our tours, so we did Westrum York, so we did kind of Skip Turn in Ilkley, we did Holland East Riding, did the Real Ale Pennine Trail, we did Leeds. Nick did a kind of offshoot, and we did a Labels and Logos and Reflections. I'm sure he'll tell us that still is one of our most downloaded episodes we've ever done. 50.
YouTube it is.
YouTube it is. We then spent a number
went international with that one.
Number of weeks looking at York. And in between, we did North Yorkshire Moors Railway and had a special guest on there. Not quite live from the Yorkshire Railway, but Bruce's nephew, Kieran, came on and gave us a little bit of an update and told, I think that was when they'd just been filming, I think, with
Tom Cruise. Yeah.
Yeah. East Reflection. We did York. We did quite a few Yorks. We did Sheffield. We did London. We then were on the road live with a trip to Harrogate and Knaresborough. We then talked about Newcastle upon Tyne. We then did the Lake District. We then had an end of summer. Then we did Whitby. We then did, Bruce did the Isle of Wight for us and Southern Ports.
Yeah.
I then did Jersey. Nick then went for a 9-pint pub crawl around London on his own and told all about that. You guys went off to Wacky and Castleford and came back with tales of interesting there.
Did
something on Macclesfield, which was, again, I think that was my first time. It came up this week. We then did Christmas. Oh, yeah, the best pub for Christmas, which I thought was a good episode. Then we did Stone. Me and Nick had a session in Stone. We were looking back and forward, kind of New Year's version. Me and Nick went to Tadcaster and met up with Bruce in York a bit later on. We then had a beer ramble around the Lake District in Amble. We then began doing an A to Z, where every week we drew out three letters from a Scrabble bag, and we could talk about a pub, a place, or a particular beer. So that kept us going for quite a while, didn't it? All the way up to episode 40. Me and Nick then went on the quest for some stones in Sheffield. So we had quite a nice little session in Sheffield. We then had me and Bruce at a session in York where I was looking for some lost breweries of York. We then had a bit of a break and we came back. Then we started on Malton. And that took us about 4 or 5 episodes to cover Malton. And then more recently, we had a trip to Manchester and Stockport, where again, we were all together and we played back on that. And then I think that just about brings up the date, doesn't it? So, yeah. So a few highlights here. There's Nicholas and Bruce looking very quizzical in Rooster's tap room.
Rooster's.
That was before we started drinking the mad stuff that I then got us bourbon laid down stuff and sours. There's Nick and Bruce in the very nice Thornbridge.
Market Cat,
yes, in one of the
little booths. When that person wouldn't let us go upstairs, would he?
Yeah. That
was forced us into that downstairs booth, and I was saying, no, I want to go upstairs. No, we want you gentlemen to sit there. I think so they could keep a bloody eye on us.
And I think we're on Jaipur then, by the looks of it. We're on Jaipur. This is Nick at the Malton Beer Town. So
stroking a barrel of porter there, I think I was.
Stroking a very strong barrel of, yes, gravity.
It was in the wood, that one, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was indeed. This was mine and Nick's trip to Sheffield. That was outside the Rutland, which is, again, I think the pick of the day. We managed to find some stones up on Eccleshall Road. And we also had a little bit of homage to Enderson's Relish.
It was being renovated. It was surrounded by the builder's fences.
This is our monsoonal trip to this was the real ale trail or what? Wasn't it?
Yeah, because
we got off. Because we met in Dewsbury and then we went to Huddersfield. So we had quite a nice drink in the Rat in Huddersfield, and then the Evans opened. So we did manage to get to the Grapes, didn't we? Around the corner there, which was very nice.
Mm.
And then we got back into the centre of town and we thought we'd better eat something.
Merry England.
For reasons we can't really say, make us about 6 pints in. We ended up going to Merry England, one of the few Merry Englands still left in the UK in Huddersfield town centre.
You can't believe this. Merry England have actually opened a drive through in Huddersfield now. And even the people live there can't believe
it. They've had a very emancipated hot beef sandwich, which didn't quite suck.
Is a drive-through man without women as well as everywhere else.
It was just extraordinary. I can't believe they did that. Yeah.
And then
you can see a queue of people in mobility scooters waiting for it, can't you?
Yeah. And then we ended
Have you got a toilet?
We end up at the King's Head on the station, which is just full of wet people dripping, and then jump the train. Then by the time we got to
Marston,
it wasn't so bad, was it? By the time
no.
It wasn't bad then. And then we finished up in a very, very busy Stanley Bridge Buffet Bar, which slightly kind of, not I would say downer, but it was just very busy, and it was full of people like us who'd been out drinking all day.
Starbuck was a bit mad, wasn't it? Yeah.
So I think this was the second half of our Tadcaster trip, Nick. And there's a nice blazing fire there in Phoenix.
Oh yeah.
And I did have to mention pies. So Bruce there is very neatly just shoveling a pie in for us. And then we're in the Acorn, aren't we? The top one there is in the Acorn. Yeah. Where I think that's where you met us when we got off the bus from Taddy. I remember it was quite a cold day, so a nice little tour around New York as well. So yeah, a little reminisce really.
What do you think the best pint is you've had? Your phone's ringing, Christine. What do you think the best pint you've had in the last this time? Phone. 1 second.
I still remember the Citra that me and Bruce had in Wakefield. It was the first pint of the day. And you always, if you're going out on a session, you always want the first one to be a good one.
Christine,
I can't remember the name of the spot now. It's just down a little side street. It's not a traditional pub. Yeah. Just saying, Bruce, I still remember that first pint Citra we had in Wakefield. First pint of the day. Yeah. And I say, I don't know why, it's because, you know, when you know you're going to have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 across the day, you want the first one to be memorable to start it off like, and it was a good one, yeah.
I think Wakefield was please went to Wakefield off to go.
Expected pleasure, really, wasn't it, Bruce? I don't know that we're expecting much, and Wakefield has got a bit of a down at heel image to it, but it was just everything worked so well in terms that there was a circular route. We weren't hitting it too hard, but you know, between pubs, there was a little bit to see or a little bit of a diversion. Very different drinking holes. I mean, from a say, that was sort of more like it wasn't really a traditional pub, was it? And then obviously you had the Red Shed, which was the Labour Club, which was quite unique. You had a couple of the Coal Hole, that is a very traditional pub. I think that's the only pub still selling real ale. And then we ended up at Clark's as well, didn't we? Which is a very, very big traditional pub as well. So I think that the places we were drinking were quite different, but
That Fernandez Brewery tap was fantastic, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. That as well, like upstairs there with all the brewery in here, all the pub signs. So no, definitely Wakefield. I don't know whether we'd be disappointed we go back, because you know, you would think hopefully all those drinking places are still open and still running, Bruce, but you just don't know nowadays, do you?
No, it's tough. No. You say it was a unexpected, fantastic drink. You really enjoyed it, especially when it really got dark and the last pub went to was fab, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think I could put it to the best pint. I think this year the best pint I've certainly had, the Yorkshire Show, Cold Bath Brewing Company from Harrogate were there with a little stand. I tell you what, their beer is excellent. Excellent beer, Cold Bath beer. But the most disappointing pint was the bloody Irish pub in Manchester, but supposed to be Britain's best Guinness. That was so disappointing. Yeah. That was so disappointing.
Yeah,
I think the whole point was being real ale drinkers. You can't name a decent pint. You know, I'm sure if you drunk Guinness or drunk lag, you could say, well, that's where you're going to get your best pint of Stella, or that's where you're going to get your best pint of Guinness. But it all depends what mood you're in, and that's the beauty about beer, isn't it? It's like wine drinkers who say, you know, you can have a different style, a different type of wine every day of the year. And so you can with beer. So, you know, in respect of what we've got over here, yeah, it's been sad to see quite a few breweries. I mean, I think the real ale scene has reached saturation point in terms of breweries opening now. And obviously quite a few have fallen by the wayside. But in terms of the choice that you still have, and certainly around here, you know, in the pubs that where we know to go now, when you can have a minimum of 2 to 3 handfuls on the bar, you can have up to, like where you were, like, you know, you can have 20 or 30 in some of these breweries. You know, we're so very, very fortunate. And, you know, if the French are just picking up on this now that, hang on, beer's better than wine, then all to the good, really.
I'll just check back, because I think it was actually one of those trips to York when I met you in the Phoenix, Bruce, and just before you'd come in with Evie, the guy had just changed the landlord, and there were 2 or 3 guys in front of me. And the lad behind the bar says, "Oh, it's on good form. It looks really nice." They bought it off, and they had it. And I said, "Yeah," and it was. So I must admit, I had some Boltmaker last. The Boltmaker, was it Thursday night? And yeah, it was all right, but it wasn't anything like. But that Timothy Taylor's in the Phoenix in York was just about. But I've got to say that Jaipur in from the brewery in the brewery. It's very, very nice. I think the trips that we went on were really good, and that's something that, again, you know, that day we had out in Harrogate was really nice. And I think to me, just remembering those days we had in York, especially early doors when we were just kind of coming out of lockdown, they were really, you know, you want to drink beer, York's a great place to drink beer, isn't it? Can't really do.
It's a place not to aim to go, but I think we should have been to Norwich drinking. Norwich seems to have an awful lot of fantastic, fantastic.
Long way to go.
We have to go to Norwich.
Not easy to get to either.
So that's where we're up to. So again, as always, we don't really know what we're doing next. So I think we're going to probably have a meet up and have a chat about where we go for episode 51. It's likely to be I think the way that we're all kind of running around now, it's probably going to be a monthly thing now. I think the weekly ones were great, but it killed you trying to
Me and you will be planning our Christmas day when we were broke.
Well, we need to get together on that one, though. We definitely need to try and find a mutual venue for that.
Three of us for a weekend, and then me and Bruce, you can normally sneak a day during the week, can't you, Bruce? After November, Mondays to Fridays. Have a look at that.
Yeah, well, I've got some days free as well, so.
Oh, good.
Get out for some decent rail offers, and then there we go. Yeah. Very good. Right. Cheers, gents. I will try and play some music, but I don't know if it will. Oh, there, we've got music this time. So, yes, till next time. Cheers.
Did I see you?
Oh, that was one.
Cheers. Hang on. I was on Bradfield Farmers Blonde tonight. They've got a good selection in Whitby Co-op. Still no music. Tell you what, Bruce, if you sing the national anthem, I'll pretend I'm Scottish and boo it.